afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to the New York State Cessation Center Collaborative Call. All lines have been placed on listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions following the presentation. Please note today's call is being recorded. Without further ado, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Ms. Anne Wendland. Anne, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Erin. Good afternoon. This is Anne Wendland, Manager of Cessation Programs for the New York State Department of Health Tobacco Control Program. And on behalf of the New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers and the New York State Smokers Quit Line, I would like to welcome you to today's call, Medicaid Billing for Smoking Cessation, Advice, Scenarios, and Questions from the Field. Our featured speakers today are Dr. Sayon Dihaloipavan. He is the Director of Cessation with the New York City Department of Mental Health and Hygiene. Mark Tremblay with the New York State Department of Health, Office of Health Insurance Programs. Allison Brown, Director of Clinical Services with Damien Family Care Centers. Deanna Janet Ka, Director of Manhattan Tobacco Cessation Program, New York University School of Medicine. On today's call, our speakers will discuss New York State Medicaid smoking cessation benefit, including billing and reimbursement, frequently asked questions, and community health center experiences. Before we start, I have some housekeeping items. We will not be offering continuing education hours for participating in this call, but we'll provide a certificate of attendance. Now it is my pleasure to turn the call over to Dr. Dihaloipavan. Sayon?
Hi, thank you, Anne. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and I'm honored to be on this part of this call. So I'm just, again, providing a very brief introduction and a high-level overview of the purpose of this call. Just to step back and look, for example, I was looking at the State Tobacco Control's website and saw that smoking kills over 25,000 New York State residents every year. And just to remind ourselves why we're doing this in the first place, I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but with national data, we know that one-third to a half of smokers end up dying of a smoking-related disease, and that smokers die on average 13 to 14 years before non-smokers. So we know that tobacco and tobacco dependence is a huge issue and causes a huge burden to smokers and their families and loved ones, the economy, et cetera. And so what can we do as providers, as a healthcare system about it? Next slide, please. So as you see, we have this evidence-based counseling technique called the 5 A's, which I'm sure, again, preaching to the choir, that you all are very familiar with. And you can read through this and how to do that. But we have this wonderful technique that is evidence-based, is proven to work and help smokers essentially quit and move through stages of change. And now the reason that we're also on this call is that we can actually get reimbursed for Medicaid patients for using the 5 A's and other and counseling in general for Medicaid patients. So next slide. Now I just want to just go through some higher level things that we could do, systematic things that we can do in our practices just to translate this Medicaid policy, this new policy into practice. So now the upcoming speakers will talk more about the actual benefit and some of the nitty-gritty details on that and frequently asked questions. But just from a bigger picture, some things we could do is just to, number one, implement a clinical reminder system. So into your EHR, or if you're not using an electronic health record, into your paper, standard paper intake and follow-up notes, you can integrate a fifth vital sign, for example, just to document whether or not someone is a smoker at every visit. And then based on that, you can act using the 5 A's and refer as needed. And then another thing is just to ensure that all relevant staff, clinical and administrative, are up to date on the 2008 clinical practice guidelines from DHHS that you see on the picture image on the left. And then, of course, we can refer any smokers that just refer smokers as necessary to treatment centers or things like the Quit Line, certain resources that we have in the community, in addition to treating them on your own. And then number four, next slide, is to identify tasks for key personnel. So figuring out what's the flow of your practice and where can you intervene and help really optimize the flow to help smokers go quit. And so whether that involves just the billing department and administrators making sure the correct CPT codes and ICD-9 codes are included in the documentation, or whether that's training, making sure providers are up to date and that they communicate properly and educate smokers on billing and reimbursement issues. And then, again, just educating your providers and medical directors and administrators on really who is able to bill for smoking cessation counseling. And then lastly, just taking advantage is kind of a number five, taking advantage of the cessation centers to train your providers and your systems, your administrators and providers and medical directors. And the cessation centers, as we'll hear, I know, throughout this talk, are a wonderful resource. The New York State cessation centers are tasked to train providers directly. And so they can come in and update your providers and billers on how to bill correctly for smoking cessation counseling. How do you ask? How do you use the 5As, et cetera? So they can really troubleshoot with you all in the field. So that's really all that I have. Going to the next slide, we do have some supporting materials. We could have listed these at the end, but I just wanted to show these to you all now just because in case you want to look at have any of these open as we go through the talk. The first particular link is actually to a FAQ sheet that our health department produced. And so that, even though it says New York City, most of the questions are pretty much applicable to anyone throughout the state. And you can open that, and it's a lot of the frequently asked questions that Mark, Deanna will be highlighting anyway. And with that, I will just thank everyone again for joining, and I'll pass along the next part of the presentation to Mark Tremblay to introduce the benefit in general. Thank you.
Hey, folks. This is Mark. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about our current policy and about what you'll do in terms of billing and how you'll be paid. So beginning April 1st, 2011, we expanded coverage for SCC to all Medicaid beneficiaries. The requirements for smoking cessation are that a physician or a physician stand-in must provide the service, and they can provide the service with or without an E&M and still be paid. Article 28, OPDs, diagnostic and treatment centers, FQHCs, and school-based health centers can all bill using APGs. Each Medicaid beneficiary will be allowed up to 6 counseling sessions during a 12-month period. So SCC, or smoke cessation, can be billed as a standalone service beginning April 1st, 2011. As we spoke about prior to that, we had smoking cessation was covered for pregnant women beginning January 1st, 2009, and then we expanded that to postpartum women and adolescents and young adults 10 through 21, January 1st, 2010. And currently, as I said, we've expanded it to all Medicaid populations. The codes that you'll use to bill, there's 2 options depending on the length of time in which the service is provided. The 99406 is for the intermediate smoking cessation. That's 3 to 10 minutes in duration. And the CPT code 99407 is used for a more intensive smoking cessation counseling, and that's for greater than 10 minutes. We also have the option for group billing, and in order to indicate that you're providing a group counseling smoking cessation session, you have to use the HQ modifier, and all claims for smoking cessation need to include the 305.1 tobacco use disorder diagnosis in order to be paid. May 1st, 2011, we made group session smoking cessation counseling available for office-based practitioners. So that's for days of service beginning May 1st, 2011. And July 1st, 2011, we made group sessions available for Article 28 clinics. So that's diagnostic and treatment centers and OPDs. And in terms of payment, if providers code the HQ modifier, they receive a reduction in the weight, which will reduce the payment by 50%. And in terms of the Medicaid benefit, the Medicaid benefit includes the smoking cessation counseling and nicotine replacement therapy, and we provide both prescription and OTC. The coverage is for a 3-month period, and we, of course, allow combination therapy, so that's the counseling and the nicotine replacement therapy. Now, if you go to the smoke cessation counseling and Medicaid reimbursement slide, I just want to point out a couple things, and that is that you can bill the smoking cessation with or without an E&M, as we said before. We'll go to the next slide. Now, this slide illustrates, as I alluded to before, that the smoking cessation pays based on an APG or a procedure-based weight within the APG group or pricer. And the way the payment is calculated is you just take the weight, multiply that by the base rate. What we have reflected here, I'll just highlight a couple of the amounts here. One is for OPD, and if you look at 99406, intermediate smoking cessation counseling, 3 to 10 minutes, the practitioner will be paid $10, but in the clinic, assuming a base rate of $204, which is the downstate hospital base rate, providers will be paid $26. And then for diagnostic and treatment centers, where the base rates are a little lower, $157, they'll be paid $20. And you can see also here that for the group counseling, providers will be paid half of what they're paid for the individual counseling, and it's based on the reduction in the weight. And the next slide. We've taken a look at some of the claims experience here, and we're seeing a significant volume, or kind of a ramping up, if you will, in diagnostic and treatment centers, with the volume, you know, the highest there. And then we're seeing some increase in the OPD claims volume in practitioner office. We're at the point we are now, we're estimated to expend about $530,000 for this for smoking cessation counseling calendar year, or state fiscal year, I'm sorry, 2011-12. So, and that's based on the practitioner office, OPD, and DTC. Now, we already talked a little bit about prescription drugs, so I'll just make brief mention that the Medicaid redesign team approved a proposal to expand smoking cessation to dentists. We have yet to work out the details on that, but something will be released in the Medicaid update for April 1st, which is when they approved for the implementation date. All right, and we have some contact information. We have a significant amount of material available for APGs on our website. We have a provider manual, and we would just direct you to the contact information if you have any questions. And with that, from the director of the Damien Family Care Center, Allison Brown, is going to take it from here.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Brown, Director of Clinical Services for the Damien Family Care Centers. Currently, Damien Family Care Centers provide services at five clinic locations. We have the Damien Clinic, Ellenville Clinic, 53rd Street Clinic, Highbridge Clinic, and the Star Hill Clinic. Four of our five clinic sites are currently located, co-located within residential treatment facilities. And we are in the process of opening up a sixth community health center in Jamaica, Queens. Damien Family Care Centers provides the following services: adult and pediatric primary care, dental services including dental hygiene, behavioral health services, gynecology, podiatry, HIV counseling, smoking cessation and counseling, and we have a referral mechanism in place to the Damien Clinic for GI, hepatology, and optometry. Our patient population, a large percentage of our patient population, are ethnic and racial minorities with incomes below 100% of the federal poverty level. And a large number of our patients also have substance abuse issues. As a result of their drug use and lifestyle, they are susceptible and often diagnosed with severe chronic conditions, including HIV/AIDS, mental illness, hepatitis C, diabetes mellitus, asthma, and cardiovascular disease. Why focus on smoking cessation? Over 70% of smokers visit a clinician each year. Most of them report wanting to quit. Damien has a patient population where greater than 89% are current smokers. As we know, half of all smokers alive today, more than 20 million Americans, will be killed prematurely by a disease directly caused by their tobacco use. And we also know that smoking is the leading preventable cause of death. Damien Family Care Centers prides itself on the philosophy of federally qualified health centers by providing its patient population with primary and preventive care services originally based on the chronic care and most recently the patient-centered medical home models of treatment. This is accomplished by incorporating patient self-management, education, and the utilization of an electronic health record that allows all providers in the organization to utilize the patient's primary treatment plan as a framework for coordinating, addressing, and adhering to established guidelines. The care is coordinated and integrated and includes quality and safety benchmarks designed to prevent the duplication of services. Slide four, please. Damien has adopted and tailored national standards of care to our practice, and with the utilization of the EHR, has incorporated smoking cessation assessments in various areas in our health records. During the initial H&P visit, the patient is assessed for tobacco use utilizing the EHR's Tobacco Smart Form. The Smart Form targets the following: if the patient is a current, former, or has never smoked. If a current smoker, they are assessed for how often they would smoke cigarettes, how many cigarettes they smoke a day, how soon after they wake are they smoking, and are they interested in quitting. Based on the responses and the patient's willingness to quit, the patient may be prescribed a tobacco cessation product. However, if the patient responds that he is thinking about quitting, the patient is automatically scheduled for a one-month follow-up appointment to reassess their willingness to quit. Damien Family Care Centers receives an all-inclusive base rate reimbursement. The majority of our patient population are Medicaid fee-for-service beneficiaries or are enrolled in a Medicaid managed care plan. Providers are responsible for timely and accurate documenting patient encounters once they have locked their notes, at which point claims are adjudicated by the patient account staff. Next slide. Damien conducts smoking cessation visits on a quarterly basis or sooner based on the patient's desire to quit. Sometimes it is difficult to have a patient return for a tobacco cessation follow-up visit, so we often incorporate them into our chronic condition visits, such as asthma, hypertension, and diabetes mellitus. During the dedicated follow-up smoking cessation visit, the provider will discuss generally utilizing the 3 to 10 minute format, beginning with the 5 A's, asking about tobacco use, advising them to quit, assessing readiness to quit, assistance with quitting, and arranging for follow-up counseling. In addition, the provider will discuss the patient's current triggers for smoking, including any stressors that the patient may be encountering. The provider will then discuss any health risk factors the patient may have that can contribute to their readiness to quit, in particular, some of the chronic conditions that were just mentioned. Next slide, please. Providers have received extensive training regarding the New York State Medicaid guidelines for reimbursement, including the maximum number of counseling sessions covered in a 12-month period, up to 6 sessions per year. The providers have also received education regarding the New York State Medicaid-approved NRTs. Our patient population generally does prefer the gum, the patches, and inhalers, but there are other choices, as you can see. Next slide. Damien Family Care Centers is proud to have instituted a super user team that is primarily responsible for EHR training to the staff. In addition, in my role as Director of Clinical Services, I'm responsible for reviewing and implementing industry changes into our practice. In addition, as part of our quality improvement process, the administrative team is responsible for quality of care audits, conducted on a quarterly basis to ensure compliance and as a provider-specific tool for evaluating performance and identifying areas of improvement. Thank you very much for your time. I'd like to turn it over now to Deanna.
Thank you. So I'm going to be going over a few scenarios that are common thus far that we've experienced with this counseling benefit. So as you can see in slide 28, this is the first scenario. I saw a patient who smoked a pack a day and was interested in quitting. I counseled her using the 5 A's technique, documented what we discussed in our chart, and billed Medicaid for the visit using both the ICD-9 code 305.1 and the procedure code 99406. A month later, I found out that I wasn't reimbursed for this service. What happened? So this is a little complicated because there could be many answers to this scenario. One could be that the start and stop time need to be included. And if you don't include that, that could be one of the reasons why you didn't get reimbursed. Another is that the patient may have used up all of their 6 face-to-face visits with another provider in a continuous 12-month period. It could also be that the provider who billed for this service was not an eligible provider. Just to recap, eligible providers are MDs, DOs, nurse practitioners, and licensed midwives. And like many other Medicaid reimbursements, whether or not reimbursement is distributed to the individual provider depends on whether the provider is salaried or capitated and his or her arrangement with payers. Salaried providers will not receive the reimbursement regardless of how payment is structured. So for these types of issues, I would clarify with the plan and your employer. And when in doubt, as always, you can call 800-343-9000 or you can email apg@health.state.ny.us. So the next scenario is I saw a patient who smoked 15 cigarettes a day and was not interested in quitting. I spoke to him about the dangers of smoking towards his asthma and overall health. After 10 minutes of discussion, he told me he was not interested in quitting because cigarettes were the only thing he had. Can I still bill for counseling even though he refused treatment? The answer is yes. This is still a face-to-face smoking cessation counseling, and it's eligible to be billed. So make sure to include the ICD-9 code 305.1, the procedure code 99406, as well as the start and stop time for the session and the 5 A's that you covered. Let's see, the next scenario. I'm an eligible provider who provided smoking cessation counseling using the 5 A's to a patient who is primarily here for diabetes care. I billed for his sole purpose of the visit, diabetes, as well as smoking cessation counseling, but only got reimbursed for the smoking cessation counseling by Medicaid. What happened? So don't use an HQ modifier if it's a single person visit. Only use the HQ modifier if it is a group session. Patients must have Medicaid as their primary insurance type if they're dual eligible, both Medicaid and Medicare. And again, when in doubt, you can call 1-800-343-9000 or email your question to apg@health.state.ny.us. Yeah, that's a little typo on that email address. Sorry about that. And next scenario. I have a patient who's interested in quitting. However, he or she does not qualify for Medicaid. Are there any other ways that this patient can get help to quit smoking? And there are a lot of ways. So the first thing is to utilize the New York State Smokers Quit Line, which offers a 2-week free supply of patches and unlimited telephone counseling. So if you have patients here in New York City, you can tell them to call 311 and they will transfer them over to the New York State Smokers Quit Line. Outside the city, any New York State resident can enroll online, and there's the link hyperlinked on the slides, or they can call 1-866-NEW-YORK-QUITS to connect directly to the New York State Smokers Quit Line. There's also an online smoke-free community. In addition, New York City has New York City Quits, which is an online resource for smokers and recent quitters. And patients can register to track their progress using the cravings log and write about their struggles and successes in a quit diary. And there's also a very nifty quit calculator online that they can use to figure out how much money that they will be saving by quitting as well. And they can get extra support through Facebook by joining the community I Quit Because, and that's part of the New York State Smokers Quit Line. In addition, for New York City residents, with regards to medication, there is the Big Apple RX card, which is a free card that provides discounts for prescription and over-the-counter nicotine replacement therapy, as long as a patient has a prescription. So they will need to get a prescription from their provider, but if they go to the pharmacy with this card, they'll be able to get a discount on that prescription. So the prices and savings fluctuate depending on the brand, but overall, cardholders can estimate a savings up to 50% on bupropion, 17% on varenicline, and about 27% on NRT. So you can write the numbers down from the card below, or you can go to bigapplerx.com to print the card and have the information, or you can have the information texted to a mobile phone. And you can call 311 or go online to learn more about the program and how you can obtain a card. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Pat Bax, the marketing coordinator for the New York State Smokers Quit Line. Pat?
Thank you, Deanna, and thank you to your team for an excellent presentation. On behalf of the New York State Smokers Quit Line, I want to thank all of you for participating on our call today. If you are new to accessing the Quit Line services, the Quit Line is a free and confidential program. We provide evidence-based stop smoking services, as Deanna mentioned in one of her slides. We provide services to all New York State residents who want to stop smoking or using other forms of tobacco. The Quit Line is located at Roswell Park Cancer Institute in Buffalo, and we do service the entire state of New York. Our services include motivational coaching, materials, resources, an online smoke-free community, and a 2-week starter kit of nicotine replacement patches if eligible. When clients call the Quit Line, we do ask if they have a health plan, if they are a health plan member. And just to give you an idea, in 2011, of those who reported their insurance status, almost 30% were Medicaid and 24% uninsured. When a member does call the Quit Line, and based on the information that we've received from working with our health plans across New York State, the Quit Coaches will provide the clients with cessation coverage details. And in most cases, this is a phone number for them to call and to contact their health plan to get more information on what benefits are covered. However, with some of our plans, we may provide a warm transfer to a plan vendor in order for the clients to receive additional enhanced coaching and nicotine replacement therapy. We work with all health plans across the state to assure that when their members do see a Quitline commercial on television, and that's usually the number one source of how people hear about the Quitline is through TV ads, and when they do call us, we can help them access their plan coverage. So if you are a health plan that and you're participating on this call today and you would like to provide us with the information that your plan offers for your members, and you would like to work more closely with us, I do encourage you to give us a call at 1-866-NY-QUITS. That's 1-866-697-8487. At this time, I will turn the call back to Erin, and we will open it up for questions and answers.
The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If at any point your question has been answered, you may press 7 again to disable your request. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. The first question comes from Amy Godfrey. Amy?
Hi, good afternoon. How are you? I was calling to ask. I noticed that they said we're an FQHC, and I noticed that they said you needed to participate in APGs. We don't currently participate at the time, still billing using our rate codes. So would this be something that we could still bill for?
Hi, this is Mark from DOH. We're currently in the process of basically trying to figure out the details of how we're going to do that. So we will notify providers as soon as the option becomes available to bill for FQHCs outside of their PPS rate if they're not participating in APGs.
Okay.
All right?
And we don't have a timeline on that at all, do we?
We don't have any specifics right now. Sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from Heather Winters. Heather?
Yes. I had a question about the time requirement. Medicare has specified that the time should be greater than 3 minutes. Anything 3 minutes or less in duration, is it considered included in the E&M? So you're recommending that you document start and stop times, but are you recommending also that we do not bill the 99406 unless we have at least 4 minutes of documented time and anything less is included in E&M, the same as Medicare?
Hi, this is Mark again from DOH. you have to provide at least 3 minutes to document the 99406.
So if you have at least 3 minutes,
mm-hmm.
not greater than 3, which is what the CPT and the Medicare definition are, you can bill the 99406?
Yeah, for Medicaid, that's what our policy is.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. We do have a question on the line from Louisa Lamb. Louisa?
Yes, I have two questions. Actually, the first question is regarding the billing provider. Just want to know that you have mentioned who's, who can bill. We have a question about regarding whether social worker or psychologist could be considered as the billing provider. The second question is regarding the quit line, the 311. We have a lot of patients who speak different languages. Majority of our patients that who really need this kind of service actually speak Mandarin and Cantonese Chinese. So we were just wondering, do they have a person who able to speak that language and provide counseling session through the quit line? Thank you.
Hi, this is Mark again from DOH. I can answer the billing question. With respect to social workers or psychologists, they are not allowed to bill under current policy. Clinics can bill, but the face-to-face provider has to be either a physician or a physician stand-in. That would be a nurse practitioner, a midwife. So I hope that answers your question.
And this is Pat from the Quit Line. I'll take the second part. Yes, we do work with clients that speak other languages. We have actually bilingual counselors that speak, or coaches that speak both English and Spanish. In addition, we work with the language line, and I believe it's around 27, 29 different languages. Another tool or another resource that you can use is on our Quit site. If you go under the resource tab, we do have some of our fact sheets, not all of them, but our fact sheets that are downloadable and for you to print and copy in different languages, including Chinese, simple, and traditional.
The next question comes from Pat Jacobs. Pat?
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. I'm very curious to understand why a CASAC individual or someone with MHS trained in counseling and the multifacets of it is not included in this billing process. And I'm curious to understand, to know where these slides are. I'm looking, I don't have these slides that everybody was flipping through. So if you can direct me to there, to the slides as well.
This is Mark Tremblay again from DOH. This stems from our longstanding Medicaid policy that prescribes or describes what type of clinician can bill for a Medicaid face-to-face visit. So that's why our current policy is what it is.
Okay. Will it ever be extended? Because CASAC and MHSs are licensed by New York State for counseling, so I would hope that would be something that will be implemented in the near future.
I don't foresee that because of the longstanding Medicaid billing policy around who, you know, what practitioners are considered eligible to provide a Medicaid face-to-face visit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you want to send me an email, you know, we can talk about it further, but I really don't foresee our policy changing at any time.
I just think that this is very interesting. These are the individuals that are in the forefront with the counseling, have been for years. But, however, I will send an email offline and, you know, advocate for that. But also, you've been talking about slides, and I may be remiss. I'd like to know where the slides are so I can review them.
Hi, you can find the slides on our website, the Quitline website. It's nysmokefree.com. And if you go to the homepage, you'll see on the upper right-hand corner a tab that says Health Providers and Partners.
Okay.
And then if you click on that in the blue box below, you'll see the collaborative call. And you can click on that link, and it will take you to our current call today.
Okay.
And you'll see click here for more information on upcoming and past calls. And right under call resources, you'll see the date of February 21st, and the CVs of our speakers are listed, as well as the agenda, the claim form that you can submit for an attendance certificate, and then it says Medicaid webinar, and that's where you're going to be able to locate the slides.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay. And while you're on that page and our, for our participants today as well, if you look under tools where it says previous calls, you can access calls from our previous calls that we've held for the last several years. There's some wonderful information. The actual call recording will be there as well as the PowerPoint. This call today will also be archived a week after, so after the 29th, this call will be also archived under previous calls.
The next question comes from Mildred Martinez. Mildred?
I think it was almost like answer, but basically we have an outpatient rehabilitation services program, and we also have the clinic, outpatient in chemical dependence. Mainly the direct provider are CASAC. Is there any difference in terms of the provision of services between the rehab and the clinic? and also, I guess, K-SAX are not billable for this particular service, only the MD?
Hi. Yeah, this is Mark again. When you're talking about these two types of clinics, is one an Article 32 and the other is an Article 28, or are they both Article 28?
Both Article 31.
Okay. yeah, as far as the mental hygiene and all the agencies under the auspices of mental hygiene, they are, I guess, working out their own details with respect to how they're going to pay for this service. And I really am only here to speak to the Article 28 facilities.
Okay.
Actually, I guess OMH and OASIS are both under review right now, but that falls outside of our purview at Department of Health, where we license Article 28 facilities.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
All right.
The next question comes from Susan Hulse. Susan?
Hi. I had a question. Again, it's about billing. One of the slides says that physician assistants can bill, and then the other slides, there's like three other slides that say don't list physician assistants, they just list nurse practitioners.
Physician assistants can bill. This is Mark again.
Okay. You may want to fix your slides then, because one of the – I don't remember which slides. Let's see. I don't know, but there's a smoking cessation counseling and medical reimbursement slide, and it just says physician, NP, licensed midwife, and it doesn't list the PAs. And so there's a few slides that say that. So only one slide says that PAs can bill. So okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. No problem.
The next question comes from Amy Godfrey. Amy?
I just wanted to know, did this pertain to Medicare at all? Being as though we bill them with the rate as well? I forgot to ask you that previously.
Yeah, this does not cover Medicare policy at all.
It has nothing to do with that. Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Reginald Justbitre. Reginald?
Hi. Earlier you mentioned that when you bill, you have to put the start and end time. But right now we bill APG with the duration only. Would that be sufficient, or do we still have to put the start and end time?
Yeah, you have to have supporting documentation in the medical record to reflect the start and end time. But on the 837I or P or in the PACES system, you just have to bill the appropriate code. Does that
okay.
answer your question?
We have a biller, an outside vendor that does our billing, but in our EHR system, we only record the duration. Would that be okay, or do we have to modify our system to record the start and end time on top of the duration?
As long as the medical record that is going to be used for a potential audit reflects the time period in which the service was provided, that's sufficient for supporting documentation.
Oh, okay.
The next question comes from Oksana Kotlarski. Oksana?
Yes, thank you. I understand that it applies only for Medicaid patients, but what about if patient has Medicare and Medicaid? Medicare doesn't cover this charge, but can we bill, in this case, Medicaid for the smoking counseling?
No. For a dual-eligible recipient, you would have to, because they're the primary payer, you would have to go by their policy.
No, I understand. We can bill Medicare. Of course, they're going to deny, saying that they do not cover. In this case, with the denial, can we bill Medicaid?
No.
So it's only for Medicaid-only patients?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mark, I was also told that if they're dual eligibles and have Medicaid as their primary insurance type, we can bill for those scenarios. Is that true?
Yeah, if they're a dual eligible, you can't. You won't be able to bill Medicaid.
Not even if they're Medicaid primary.
Well, I mean, we can talk about that offline, but I'm not aware of a scenario, even in a Medimax situation,
okay.
where Medicaid would be the technical primary.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Heather Winters. Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Heather, go ahead.
Medicare requires that if your only diagnosis is tobacco use with no associated other problem, that you use a G code, G0436 and G0437 for billing for the tobacco counseling. Will Medicaid recognize those codes, or will they only recognize the 99406 and 99407?
In order to bill and be paid for smoking cessation in Medicaid, you have to use these codes. In fact, technically, Medicare has those lettered codes to bill specifically to them as a payer.
Okay, thank you.
So we wouldn't recognize those.
Okay.
There are no other questions in the queue at this time. Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Okay, we do have a question on the line from Lucita Stortz. Lucita?
Hi. Earlier someone had a question, and then I heard a mention when they answered the question that this is only pertaining to the Article 28. This is not for FQHC. You said you're going to be doing something different for us?
Yeah, if you're an FQHC and you bill through APGs, then all of this policy that I've described here with respect to billing through the APG group or pricer applies, and practitioner billing. If you're an FQHC and you do not bill through APGs, that policy is currently under review, and we will notify providers via Medicaid update when we have the final details.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Shania Pinkney. Shania?
Yes, hi. So my question is, what recommendation do you have for pediatricians who are treating children whose parents are smokers, and they may want to provide the service of counseling to those parents in terms of preventing secondhand smoke?
So we did clarify with the state, because that scenario does come up a lot, that the face-to-face counseling that you're trying to get reimbursement for has to be with that particular patient. And so, for example, if you were counseling the parent, you cannot bill for that for reimbursement. Although you should clinically, you know, of course, counsel the parent, that does not, it's not eligible for billing under the state.
Right, which I understand, and I've conveyed that to our pediatricians as well, but is there any kind of recommendation? Is there anything they can bill for, especially if the child is like a Medicare recipient, like they have? I don't know. Someone had once told me that there was something they could bill for in terms of, like, reducing toxins, like a code for toxic exposure or something like that.
I see. I'll defer to Mark on that. I'm not aware of any. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
No, there's no scenario in which you could bill in that situation.
Okay.
Good question.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
The next question comes from Oksana Kotlarski. Oksana?
Yes, thank you. It was mentioned before that somebody can come over to the site and do the training for the give the training for the doctors. Who should I speak to about that to make arrangements?
This is Deanna. I'll answer that. So on one of the slides, I believe it was towards the beginning, there it was a hyperlink to the cessation centers, slide 6. So if you click on that link, it will bring you to a page that has all 19 cessation centers listed. So we are based on area. So I'm not sure where you're located, but if you look on that list.
I'm sorry, what slide?
If you turn to slide 6, it says there, at the bottom of the slide, it says station centers. If you highlight that and right-click, you should be able to open that link. And it brings you to a DOH page with all of the 19 cessation centers listed.
It doesn't give me any list of centers. I see cessation centers, but when I click on it, nothing opens up.
Right. So you're going to have to highlight that, highlight cessation centers, and then right-click using your mouse. And then it'll say a pop-up window will open, and it says select open hyperlink.
Okay.
And when you do that, it should appear.
Okay, and then I choose one that is close to us, right?
Right. It's based by county. So, you know, for instance, if you if your practice was in the Bronx, would go to the Bronx Cessation Center. But you can call the number or email or telephone them, and someone will get in touch with you about arranging provider education.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
This is Pat. We also have the Cessation Center contact list under the tool section under previous calls right on the website on nysmokefree.com, the collaborative call page that you're looking at where you found the slides. So if you see Cessation Center contacts, you can reference that at any time, and we will keep it updated as changes occur in staffing. But as Deanna said, all the cessation centers are listed by counties.
There are no other questions in the queue at this time. Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. It appears there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Erin. This is Ann Wendland. So in closing, I just want to remind everyone that our next collaborative call will be on Wednesday, March 7th. It is entitled Addressing Barriers to Treating Pregnant Women's Tobacco Use and Dependence. The start time for that call will be 12 p.m. On behalf of the New York State Department of Health Tobacco Control Program, the New York State Tobacco Cessation Centers, and the New York State Smokers Quit Line, I want to express our sincere appreciation for the excellent presentation today. And thank you to all who participated in today's call. This will bring us to the end of our call. Thank you again. Have a great rest of your day.
This does conclude today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.